The topics and opinions expressed on the following show are solely those of the host and their guests, and not those of W4CS Radio, its employees, or affiliates. W4CS makes no recommendations or endorsements for radio show programs, services, or products mentioned on air or on our web. Any questions or comments should be directed to those show hosts. Thank you for listening to the Cancer Support Network on W4CS.com. Any health-related information on the following show provides general information only. Content presented on any show by any host or guest should not be substituted for a doctor's advice. Always consult your physician before beginning any new diet, exercise, or treatment program.
Welcome to 5 to Thrive Live. Hey, what is your emotional type and why is that even important to our health? We're going to find out tonight, but before I introduce you to our guest, I would like to let you know that I am Carolyn Gazella, the host of tonight's show, and I co-host this show with my good friend and co-author, Dr. Lise Altshuler, and we are excited about our new book coming out soon. It is called The Definitive Guide to Thriving After Cancer. It's a completely revised, updated, and new edition of 5 to Thrive. It's going to be out soon. If you'd like more information about us, our new book, our magazine, just visit our website at 5tothriveplan.com. You can also sign up for our free weekly Thrive Thoughts at our website, so be sure to do that. I'd like to take this opportunity to thank the sponsors of our show, who are Sun Theanine, Sun Fennin Green Tea, Tomorrow's Nutrition, Cetria Glutathione, and Cognizant Citicoline. We appreciate our sponsors very much. And I also want to remind you that we are live tonight, and we are taking your questions, so you can either call us at 561-623-9427 or just type your question into the chat room. We're going to be monitoring that chat room throughout the show. Okay, now for tonight's topic. We are sure to have a fascinating conversation with my expert guest, Michael Jauer, who is an emotion research and writer based in Washington, D.C. He is the co-author of two books on this topic, including his latest book titled Your Emotional Type, which is the topic of this show. In addition to being a writer, Mike is also the director of government and public affairs at the American Association of Naturopathic Physicians, one of our favorite organizations. Mike, welcome to the show.
Well, Carolyn, it's great to be speaking with you.
Well, I'm excited to dig into this topic. So the first question I have for you, now you co-authored this book, Your Emotional Type, with Dr. Mark McCosey, and I am wondering, why did you want to write this book?
Well, couple of reasons. The first actually relates a little bit more to Mark, but I'll tell you how this came about. In 1995, when I was but a toddler, Dr. McCosey was on Good Morning America, and he was being interviewed about a brand new textbook that he had edited at the time called Fundamentals of Complementary and Alternative Medicine. It's now entering its fifth edition, so it's kind of venerable at this point, but it was brand new at that time, and he was speaking to Joan London, who was the co-host, and she told him on the air that she had been bothered by shoulder pain from an injury that she'd suffered horseback riding. And she said she tried acupuncture, but that had not worked. And she had wanted it to work. She believed that it would work, and it had been recommended to her by friends that it had worked for. So she put this question to him, why didn't it work for me? And you know, it occurred to Mark that even if acupuncture were merely a placebo, you know, she should have gotten some relief or some benefit from it. But, you know, he had to improvise something and basically said, well, it needs more study, and then file it away for further scrutiny. So now fast forward to about 3 years ago when Mark and I were planning our next joint venture after a book that we did together called The Spiritual Anatomy of Emotion. We were talking about the next project and relating it to the last project, which was it had a great deal to do with what turned out to be emotional types, and particular a concept called boundaries, thick boundary and thin boundary people, and everybody in between. And it seemed to explain why certain people might be more affected by certain kinds of illnesses. Now, I'd always been interested in personality and health and links between the two. So we realized, based on his expertise in integrative medicine, that we might be able to extrapolate and explain why some integrative treatments work better for some people, not as well for others. It really has to do with, as we see it, the individualized nature of our physical and emotional well-being. So it was his sort of professional interest and my personal interest, and we kind of linked up that way.
Well, it sounds like a wonderful combination. I would like to think that Dr. Altshuler and I have those same kind of synergies in our work. So congratulations on the book and on your writing relationship with Dr. Mukozzi. Now, when people ask you, what does emotional type mean? You know, what's your quick answer when somebody says, well, what do you mean by emotional type?
Well, emotional type is really a matter of personality at its core. What makes you you? And emotion has a great deal to do with what makes us us. You can pick up really any science journal, any popular journal that delves into science or medicine, and it's finding more and more that feelings are really at the root of who we are, what we prefer, what we believe, how we behave. It's not just our brains, and that was a popular misconception back, 15, 20 years ago. In fact, the 1990s were actually dedicated as the decade of the brain, and that's where all the research went on. But what actually underlies our consciousness, which is what neuroscientists love to study, is sentience, our capacity to feel. The brain is actually just one player, albeit a hugely important one, in a whole, you might say, orchestra, where the brain is the conductor, and biochemical messages are circulating everywhere within us instantaneously. The brain is on the receiving end of these messages from elsewhere in the body as often as it's the sender. The prime example would be the enteric nervous system, the so-called second brain, or some people call it the mind of the gut. It's the basis for our gut feelings. There's a great deal going on down there that's as valid as what's going on upstairs. So what we perceive, what we ultimately feel, is very much embodied. And, the phrase, I think, therefore I am, really has to be updated to I feel, therefore I am. And that's accurate and right on the mark scientifically today. So extending this just a little further, if personality is a matter of feeling, feeling is a matter of energy. The word emotion conveys the movement of the energy that we feel in our bodies. And, this energy is going to ebb and flow as we go through our day. And, we're going to go through up and down periods in our life. And oftentimes, this has a tangible connection to the complaints that patients bring. But the bottom line is we feel something. As long as we're alive, we feel something. We're literally animated, and feelings tell us how we're doing. In that sense, emotion is the most important aspect of being human. So your emotional type is a critical facet of who you are.
And now make the connection between this feeling, emotion, emotional type, and our health. Can you draw a direct correlation for us to our health and how we physically feel?
Yes, well, that's the focus of this particular book, is your emotional type. And what we look at is the concept of boundaries. Boundaries is a concept developed by Ernest Hartmann at Tufts University. And he looks at sort of a spectrum of how people process environmental stimuli, but also emotional stimuli. And if you sort of distill it down to its essence, Carolyn, it's how much gets to you and in what way. And a thick boundary person is going to be much different than a thin boundary person. A thick boundary person is apt to be stoic, calm, persevering. They're not necessarily going to emote easily. And they may, in fact, not realize what they're feeling or sort of suppress what they're feeling. And that, in our view, and we spell it out in the book, there are dynamics that actually translate into different forms of illness from a thin boundary person for whom feelings are not so much a foreign language. They're very conversant with their feelings. People who are thin boundary are going to come across as especially sensitive, open, empathetic, vulnerable. You could even say the differences between the one end of the spectrum and the other is thick skin versus thin skin is a pretty easy way to sum it up. And what we've done is to look at evidence that connects different boundary types to different complaints. And the key is that we're embodied and we're psychosomatic. Everything is connected. So feelings being as essential to us as they are, really relate to health quite substantially.
Well, perfect. And that's exactly what we're going to talk about when we come back from the break, because I think that this is fascinating. So basically what you're saying is that if we can determine if we're thick-skinned, thin-skinned, which relates to our emotional type, we can maybe identify illnesses or symptoms that we might be more at risk of developing. Is that what you're saying, kind of?
That's exactly it.
Perfect. Good. I love it when I get it.
Got it very quickly.
Well, good. And we're going to explore this in a lot more detail. I think it's just fascinating stuff. So we're going to take our first quick break. And when we come back, we're going to continue our conversation with author Michael Jauer. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Green tea is good for us. It's a key part of the 5 to Thrive plan. What if you don't care for the taste of green tea? And with so many green tea supplements, how do you choose? No one wants to waste their money on a poor quality product, and I know I want organic to avoid the harmful toxins. That's why you should choose Sunfinen. Sunfinen from Tomorrow's Nutrition gives you the highest quality green tea possible, and they offer 100% satisfaction guarantee. They have confidence in the quality of all their products. As a special offer to 5 to Thrive listeners, Tomorrow's Nutrition will give you 20% off your order. Go to tomorrowsnutrition.com and type in the code 5 to Thrive when you check out, and you'll automatically receive 20% off your order. Get quality. Get results. Get Sunfinen Green Tea from Tomorrow's Nutrition. That's tomorrowsnutrition.com. And don't forget to type in the code 5 to Thrive to get 20% off your order.
Stress has become a part of our daily lives. We become sleep deprived and sapped of energy. Fortunately, there is a natural product that can help. L-theanine is a special amino acid found in green tea that helps us relax while keeping the brain alert and active. Tomorrow's Nutrition Suntheanine delivers 150 milligrams of L-theanine per capsule. Suntheanine has been clinically proven to reduce stress, improve focus, and help us sleep. For more information, visit tomorrowsnutrition.com. As a special bonus, listeners will receive 20% off any order by typing in 5 to Thrive when they check out at Tomorrow's Nutrition. Tomorrow's Nutrition and 5 to Thrive are a great combination. Don't forget the code 5 to Thrive at tomorrowsnutrition.com and get 20% off your order.
Thrive Live. If you've just joined us, my name is Carolyn Gazella. I am tonight's host, and my guest is Michael Jauer. He is the co-author of Your Emotional Type. I want to remind you that we're taking your questions tonight, so you can call us at 561-623-9427 or type your question into the chat room. We're going to be monitoring that chat room. So before the break, we were talking about emotional types, thick-skinned versus thin-skinned, and I'm curious, Mike, why the focus on boundaries? What's the connection between boundaries and our emotional type?
Well, I should say that it may be of interest to your listeners that the way that Hartman came up with the concept of boundaries in the first place, he wasn't necessarily looking at health, but he was looking at patients who came to him complaining of nightmares during the early 1980s. And the more he studied people and sort of tried to see what distinguished the people that were experiencing nightmares from those who didn't, one thing he noticed was that, nightmares are a very vivid form of dream. You know, they literally wake you up in terror or fear, and they're very much about feelings. Now, he looked at other people, as his research expanded, he looked at other people that slept very soundly, and in fact, at the extreme, what he called the extreme fixed side of the spectrum, because boundaries really are a spectrum. It's not just that a person is thin or thick. Most people are actually clustered somewhere on that continuum. What he found is that people who never experienced nightmares and slept very soundly, there were some of them who wouldn't even remember their dreams. And if they did remember the dreams, it was very black and white, not much going on, not much that's terribly significant. And so he could see that there were very definite differences in the way that that people reported, waking up and what they had experienced. And he surmised that, feelings had to be a big part of this. And so he then moved into trying to figure out neurologically and biologically why this might be. And that's the work we've expanded upon. Mark McCosey and I have looked at connections between boundary type and different conditions, different chronic illnesses, where there's good evidence that people have a different, stress reactivity threshold as measured by the HPA axis, or the hypothalamic pituitary adrenal axis. There's a lot of literature on that. It just hasn't been looked at in light of boundaries, and that's what we're after.
Yeah, it's fascinating to me. And I would like to talk about those 12 common disorders and then the treatments that you focus on. But before we go there, you mentioned before the break that we are psychosomatic beings. Just briefly describe not only what that means, but why is it important for us to understand that we are psychosomatic beings?
Well, it's terribly important, and the first thing is to clear up a popular misconception that psychosomatic means something is all in your head. For years, various complaints have been dismissed or downplayed as, psychosomatic, as if they're insubstantial and unworthy of being taken seriously. And this is what's really held science and medicine back in a lot of cases from truly understanding conditions like fibromyalgia, like chronic fatigue syndrome, which was known for some years as the yuppie flu, not a very nice way to to be taken seriously. Irritable bowel syndrome, I think PTSD in the early stages was hard for researchers to get their hands around, but increasingly there's all sorts of evidence that there are genetic factors, environmental factors at play in these and other conditions, and they're anything but psychosomatic if you look at it in that narrow pejorative sense. But the way that Mark McCosey and I and many others look at it, because this is not something we're creating a whole cloth, we're buying into a concept that others have pioneered, we're embodied, we're sensing, we're perceiving, we're feeling things all the time. And various systems of the body are in constant contact. There's really no separation between the nervous system, the digestive system, the immune system, the endocrine system. Biochemical information is being exchanged all the time throughout the body. And there's a discipline called psychoneuroimmunology, abbreviated PNI, which can test your spelling, I should say. But if you can say it, psychoneuroimmunology, really the word itself connects a lot of those disciplines that used to be looked at separately. And science and medicine have made tremendous strides in exploring and formalizing all of this. So mind and body are not separate. Descartes had it wrong. It's more like two sides of the same coin. So the term that we prefer is body-mind, which was coined, I think, back in the 1970s by Ken Dykewald. And your listeners may have heard of a PNI researcher, also by the name of Candace Pert. She was a researcher who really broke new ground at NIH and later wrote a book called Molecules of Emotion. And her view, and I believe it's correct, is that each of us is a unified psychosomatic network. And she says, we're continuously psyche and soma, psyche being the mental, emotional, psychological aspects of ourselves, and soma as the molecular, bodily, and material aspects of ourselves. And she says, and we agree, that emotion really animates and underlies all of this. So how we feel at any moment is a snapshot of our body-mind. And really, those are two sides of the same coin.
Yeah, and I love how you said before the break that feeling is energy. And so I'd like to talk about these common disorders. So your book does a brilliant job of connecting common disorders with the boundary type, and then you take it one step further and you say, okay, well, we have these seven complementary treatments. Which one would be best for, you know, that disorder for that boundary type? But let me start by saying I'm going to say that let's say I'm a thick-skinned boundary. What few conditions would I be more at risk of developing if I'm thick-skinned? Just to kind of give us a flavor or an example.
Okay. I'll give you an example of a couple of conditions, and then I'll explain why we think that's the case, sort of provide a metaphor or an analogy to it. Thick boundary people, and remember, folks are not clustered at, you know, all of them at either end of the spectrum. Folks are all throughout the spectrum, and that's what Hartman calls it, the boundary spectrum, which is informed by scores from his boundary questionnaire. And I should just mention that there's a short form of the boundary questionnaire, and it needs to be short because the full BQ is 145 questions. Hartman has whittled it down to the most representative 18, and those questions are in the short form boundary quiz. And then actually, if folks want to take that, they can go to www.youremotionaltype.com. It takes about 10 minutes to go through, if you don't ponder the 18 questions, which we don't recommend you do, just, you know, go through them quickly and naturally, and you can score it. You know, it does it for you automatically online, and you can see where you are on the boundary spectrum. But a couple, to get back to your example of a thick boundary person, I guess the typical complaints would be ulcer and hypertension for somebody with thick boundaries. And maybe... And the flip side is that for a thin boundary person, common complaints are allergies, asthma, migraine, irritable bowel syndrome. Also, fibromyalgia as a thin boundary condition. However, chronic fatigue syndrome as a thick boundary condition. And this was a surprise to us as we went through the evidence. But it does seem to be holding up. And it might be a surprise to a lot of people because fibromyalgia and chronic fatigue syndrome are often linked together. There are a lot of commonalities, but our supposition is that it's sort of the same process. It just plays out differently in people who are differently constituted on the basis of their boundaries.
Yeah, and I'm going to post that website where you can take the questionnaire. Teresa, and who I work with, she and I did it separately, and we were comparing notes, and it's like, yeah, I could see that, you know, and it's really kind of interesting. And I'll put that on the Facebook page so you guys can, so our listeners can go ahead and take that questionnaire. So, okay, so now, Mike, we've identified disorders that can be linked to the possible emotional type. How did you then go bridge the gap between treatment? What happens on the next step?
Well, that's where Dr. McCosey's expertise comes into play, because for 25 years at least, he has been at the forefront of what used to be called CAM, or complementary and alternative medicine, and increasingly is being known as integrative medicine. That I think betokens some progress in bringing this into the mainstream. So that we're, you know, now looking at it in an integrative way with the rest of medicine, allopathic medicine. So Mark has done a great deal to expand awareness of what used to be known as CAM. He's not as well known as, a Dr. Oz, for example, but he's published more, and he's written more books and edited more books, it's upwards of 40 books that he's written or edited on complementary and alternative medicine. And, he was intrigued as we came off the book that we had written a few years ago. He was intrigued with pursuing this issue of how not only feelings and feeling type relates to health, but pragmatically, what are the therapies that might do best for different types of people? And again, with boundary type, it's not one or the other. There's a variety of therapies that show promise for different types of conditions. But he chose the seven, what he calls the super seven therapies, simply because in his experience, drawing on his background, they're the most well-researched and well-documented as far as providing real benefits to people.
Interesting. So it kind of goes back to that story of Joan London back in the day that you mentioned in the very beginning part when she was saying, oh gosh, my horseback riding accident had acupuncture, I didn't respond. And what you and Dr. McCosey are contending is that, well, it could be her emotional type. It's not as in line with acupuncture as it could potentially be with another treatment. Is that what you're kind of saying?
Well, that's exactly right, and we were so enthused about that that we sent her a copy of the book, and I don't know if that if she even remembered necessarily having raised that concern with Dr. McCosey on the set, but Mark certainly did, and he wanted to close the loop with her.
Cool. It's interesting. Now, this you and I have talked about this, and I think it's a very, very important point. This is not black and white. So if I'm thick-skinned, it doesn't mean I'm going to automatically get an ulcer. So can you speak to that? You know, how do you, when somebody looks at you and says, oh, gosh, that's a bunch of bunk, or they say, oh, gosh, I can see it. I'm thick-skinned, so now I'm going to have high blood pressure. You know, how do you talk them through that in terms of looking at this as a tool?
Well, the first thing is that none of this is a value judgment. Anybody who's interested in personality at all, anybody who's interested in human behavior, knows that, what do the French say, vive la différence, it's differences that make the world go round. You need Republicans, you need Democrats, you need Libertarians, you need everybody on the spectrum, and in all facets of life. So it's really differences in relationships as well. I mean, what we're finding, by the way, is that people who are thicker boundary tend to have long-term relationships with people who are thinner boundary, which sort of makes sense just on the face of it. But people really thrive five to thrive. They thrive on people that are complementary to them in some way. So people are all across the spectrum. And now there are some trends I can mention that. You know, the scores on the boundary questionnaire over time, and I think more than 5,000 people have taken, are documented as having taken the boundary questionnaire over the years. The scores are actually distributed, you know, in a bell-shaped curve. So there's no dishonor at being at one end of the curve or another. It's people have different aptitudes, different abilities. It's sort of like Myers-Briggs in that sense. You know, people are just different and they have different strengths. Someone who's thick boundary has, you know, the ability to focus, the ability to sort of tune out distractions, the ability to soldier on, whereas the person who's thin boundary, you know, can read other people, is highly empathetic, is sensitive and introspective in many cases. It's just different talents, different abilities. I will say that generally speaking, women tend to score thinner than men, younger people tend to score somewhat thinner than older people. So there are trends, and I should say there are also some links and some parallels with the Myers-Briggs approach as well.
I think it's such a good point that it's a tool. It's kind of like if you're looking at personality types, introvert versus extrovert, and I happen to be an introvert, which always surprises people because I can be very public and I can be very extrovert. But the way that I charge my battery and the way that I stay in balance is honoring my introversion. So my goal personally is not to become an extrovert. It's becoming more and more aware of my introversion and honoring that. So if I would apply that to this emotional type, and let's say I take the questionnaire and I lean toward the thick boundary and I'm like, oh gosh, I don't want to be thick boundary. The goal is to be in the middle. That's not what you're saying, is it?
No. If you're dissatisfied with some aspect of your personality and you wish you were slightly thinner in this instance, then it's a tool to, you know, to become more mindful, more aware of how you process feelings, because that's what this is all about. And processing feelings is in large part automatic. It's learned. It's a product of your environment. But there's also, you know, genetic factors that predispose people more than likely to become thick or thin boundary. By the way, for anyone who's introspective or introverted, a great book that was out, I think, about a year and a half ago called Quiet by a woman named Susan Cain, which was a bestseller, and there's a tremendous talk that she gave on TED, which you can get to online, and it's all about honoring, as you say, Carolyn, honoring what's genuine within us, whether it's introspection and introvertedness, which has its own unique strengths, or being more extroverted. So there's a lot here to embrace, and what we really are aiming to do with the concept of boundaries and trying to popularize that, tie it to health, is just give people an expanded window on who they are, valuing who they are, and if they want to make some changes, you've got some additional information to do that with.
That is so amazing, Mike, because I was just painting with some friends Monday night, and my friend Leslie, we were talking about introversion versus extroversion, and she mentioned that book, Quiet, and she also said that it's really, really well done. And back in the day, long, long time ago, I read a book called The Introvert Advantage that really changed my thinking and helped me out a lot as well. But I'm going to pick up this book, Quiet, and I'm going to listen to the TED Talk, because I think that has now come up for me twice within a couple of days. So that's a book that I need to get. And you know what? It's time for our final break. But when we come back, we're going to explore how we can apply this to our everyday lives and maybe what the future holds when we're talking about our emotional type. So stay tuned. We'll be right back.
We are constantly being bombarded by toxins in the air we breathe, water we drink, and even the foods we eat. So what's the answer? Glutathione. It's inside every cell in your body and protects you from the damage of oxidative stress and toxins. There's a special patented form of glutathione that is superior, called Cetria. Cetria is pure, vegetarian, and allergen-free. Help replenish your body's reserves of this very important nutrient, detoxified a natural way. Visit CetriaGlutathione.com. That's CetriaGlutathione.com.
Cancer survivors? Check. Authors? Check. Cancer doctor? Check. Research journalist? Check. Two women committed to integrative cancer prevention and treatment? Double check. If this sounds interesting to you, then join Dr. Lisa Alschuler and Carolyn Gazella, the co-hosts of 5 to Thrive Live, Monday through Friday at 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern on W4CS.com. With enthusiastic dedication, inspired by expert guests, Dr. Alschuler and Carolyn promise to empower you with life-changing knowledge and practical strategies to help you thrive. Join them on their mission to change the course of cancer and tune in to 5 to Thrive Live, Monday through Friday at 5 p.m. Pacific on the Cancer Support Network, W4CS.com.
Are you interested in boosting your brain power? So am I. This is Carolyn Gazella, co-host of 5 to Thrive Live, and I'm here to tell you about a supplement that I take. The human brain needs a lot of nutrition to stay focused throughout the day. Citicoline naturally enhances energy-producing centers within the brain. Cognizin delivers a clinically tested, patented form of citicoline that supplies your brain with the energy it needs to stay sharp. Look for Cognizin on the label, or for more information, visit Cognizin.com. That's Cognizin.com.
Wow. Welcome back to 5 to Thrive Live. I am Carolyn Gazella, tonight's host, and I am joined by author Michael Jauer. He is the author of Your Emotional Type. Fascinating book, fascinating topic. You know, we're talking about emotional type, but we're talking specifically about thick boundary versus thin boundary. And I know, Mike, when you were doing research for the book, now before the break, you mentioned one surprise as, you know, chronic fatigue being more related to thick boundaried people. Were there any other surprises that you uncovered as you were doing your research and writing?
There was another surprise. We wanted to look at depression, because depression is an enormously common complaint, unfortunately. The evidence was not clear-cut. In fact, it indicated that anybody, regardless of boundary type, can become depressed. It's something that, you know, we weren't sure with any of this research necessarily what we were going to find. But when you look at the parameters or the factors involved, among the different conditions, it's spread out with depression. So that, you know, that may just tell us something else. You know, it's not easy to categorize, so there may be a lot more to learn when it comes to depression as far as how feelings work in that condition.
Yeah, interesting stuff. And you know what this kind of reminds me of? Things like eat right for your blood type, or, you know, so this is just another tool. So like eat right for your blood type, it's not necessarily that all type A, you know, have to do this diet, but you may feel better if you lean towards one diet or another. And this kind of is a tiny bit similar to that. And I'm just wondering if you can give us some practical examples of how we may be able to apply this concept, this emotional type concept, to our everyday lives as it relates to our health. Can you give us some examples?
Sure. Well, I think I mentioned this before. I do think it's a practical benefit, even though it's not directly related to health, is that your awareness of how you react to things, how you mull over things, how you let them go, what affects you deeply, and just how much gets to you. You know, this awareness, having it of yourself, you can apply it with other people, and if you see where they're coming from, I really do believe that there is a benefit to greasing the skids for human relationships, that things, that wheels roll more easily. You can be more forgiving or more understanding at any rate as far as where other people are coming from, and that hopefully has a very direct benefit on personal relationships, work relationships, all kind of relationships, parents and kids and everything else. So as far as health, our hope with this, our expectation, is that naturopathic doctors and other health practitioners will be able to improve their portfolio of therapies by matching them to a patient's boundary type. So the BQ, the short form boundary questionnaire, we hope at some point will become a diagnostic tool, and hopefully a widespread one, so that as a physician, you'll be able to have another set of data to gauge what types of approaches might work well with certain people. And since naturopathic medicine is very much, you know, focused on the patient as a whole person, and helping patients to become more empowered, this is something that patients themselves can use, we expect. And so it's not something that just walk into a doctor's office and they're told what the boundary type is and this is the therapy for them. It's much more involving, and they take an active part in understanding what that's about and what therapies may be best for those particular conditions.
Okay, so let me give you an example of something that popped into my head. So previously you were mentioning thick-skinned or thick-boundaried people would have maybe a higher risk of hypertension. So if I'm aware that I'm a thick-boundaried person and that's my emotional type, you know, as a healthcare practitioner, I will do more cardiovascular checking. But as a consumer, I may also take some supplements that might be more heart healthy. Is that a pretty accurate example of how this could be applied?
Absolutely, absolutely. There are 12 conditions that we look at, really 14 if you kind of split hairs, and they cover a lot of ground. I mean, tens of millions of people in this country suffer from these conditions, and as the pace of life gets faster and pressures come to bear on people, there's you know, more incidence of different conditions. People aren't eating right, they're not exercising right, and so their natural tendency maybe to some of these conditions is exaggerated. So they have more need to understand what are the triggers here, what am I prone to, what am I susceptible to, and what are the best things to do about it.
Yeah, and I also am curious about those seven treatments. I understand that Dr. McCosey picked the seven treatments, but what are those seven treatments that you focused on in the book?
They are acupuncture, hypnotherapy, biofeedback, meditation, yoga, guided imagery, and relaxation techniques. So those are the seven, and you know, in some cases they sort of, you know, yoga can be relaxing, for example. So it's just a matter of convenience in some cases to categorize them that way.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting. So if I'm a thin, boundaried person, I might benefit more from yoga versus guided imagery or something like that.
Well, actually, and there needs to be more data collected on this. I mean, we're attempting to pioneer something here, so I don't want to imply to you or your listeners that this is the last word. It's the first word. It's really the preamble to something that we expect, we hope that will expand greatly as people really devote, if they find that there's value in pursuing it, that there's much more research that could be done, and on a wider variety of therapies. There's a whole range of energy therapies, for example. I've gotten a lot of questions from people, practitioners of energy medicine, as where do those fit in? So that's actually the last chapter of our book. That's sort of a preamble to the next thing that we want to look at. But you know, there's a range of therapies out there, and again, this is a way for people to, you know, to focus in on what they're most susceptible to, and to be the wiser for it.
Yeah, I mean, I could see this as being, like, for example, Reiki comes to mind, or even massage. Or even certain diets, or I mean, there's so many ways that you could go in terms of looking at treatments, and I would assume that there just are a ton of other disorders that you could look at as it relates to emotional type as well.
And maybe the thumbnail way to look at this, very quick sort of summation of what we found, is that thin boundary people respond very well to therapies that involve imagery and imagination and visualizing something. Whereas thick, because they take suggestion much more easily, that sort of the boundary between them and other people is more permeable, and what other people have to say to them and the feelings that they present to them, they absorb much more readily. And the feeling flow within them is much faster and more direct. So they can take a suggestion and turn it into an image, or take an image and turn it into something palpable that changes in their physiology. Thick boundary people are better suited to hands-on techniques. Perfect example would be biofeedback. If they can see literally readings of what's going on in their bodies, they can start to take note of it, because oftentimes people with a thick boundary, they're just busy, they're going about their business, and they don't really sense what they're actually feeling until their body is telling them later on in some way. And so biofeedback or even acupuncture, anything that improves relaxation or prompts relaxation for thick boundary people, those are typically good approaches.
Yeah, that's just fascinating to me that you can kind of separate it. But here again, I think this is a perfect time to say that it's not all black and white. You know, even if you you know, are thin boundaried or lean in that direction, you still may certainly get a lot of benefit from acupuncture, for example. So it's definitely, I just think that it's always a good reminder to say this is information, more information that you're getting, so you can be more aware of how to do your own self-care.
Exactly, exactly. I mean, people are have many different aspects. As you point out, with introversion and extroversion, a person can be introverted much of the time, but you get them on stage and they're completely extroverted when they're singing or they're acting or whatever it happens to be. So people are very complex, and we don't mean to imply that that the spectrum is anything other than what it is. It's a continuum. It's just a way of conveying the sort of the ends of the spectrum and what goes on there and why.
Yeah, I just think that information is power, and the more that we can gather in order to make decisions for ourselves, the better off we're going to be. And it's interesting how you mentioned relationships, because I was curious about that. If this work has been applied to relationship compatibility issues, I think that's probably a whole nother show.
Yeah, it hasn't yet. That could be the next venture. It's certainly been applied elsewhere. I'm pretty sure that the Myers-Briggs type inventory has been used that way. There's a woman in California, I'm trying to remember her name, Elaine Aron, who has written books on the highly sensitive person. And she has a book called The Highly Sensitive Person in Love, which I think was her third book. So it's a natural thing for people to want to explore. And as you say, it's you know, what we're after here and what we're talking about is just another tool in the toolkit. And when it comes to naturopathic medicine, for example, people have known for a long time the philosophy embraces the idea of the whole person and the complex person and the embodied person. And that's really what feelings are all about. And the connection with health is really what we're trying to make more manifest.
Yes, definitely. And now I'm curious, what is the ultimate goal for you guys? Where would you like to see this work go?
Well, that's a great question. A couple of things. One is that we'd really like to see medicine slow down towards the form of personalized medicine, if it's termed that way these days, which is genetic testing. And so people are saying, well, genetics is everything, just as they thought the brain was everything. Genetics are everything, and if we can just look at sort of the seeds of illness or the possibilities of illness that people inherit, then we can map out what they need to do and what drugs they need to take. It's terrific for the pharmaceutical industry to be going in that direction, because then you can say, well, it's individualized and it's preventive, and just take all of these cocktail of drugs in this order. And we really would like ultimately, Carolyn, society to slow down from that push and look at things more holistically, and look at what people can do to help themselves, and not lose sight of the fact that we are complex, that it's environment as much as heredity, and that there's a different form of personalized medicine that's possible, and that's really what we would like to present is a model for personalized medicine that's something different than this sort of mad rush towards genetic testing, which, sort of the great American system is go for something that's complex and expensive and tout that as the cure-all. We don't believe that it is, and the alternative is we think, much more palpable, accessible, and humane.
Yeah, and I think it's worth reminding our listeners what you said early, that we are looking at ourselves without judgment. And I highly recommend that you go to the website to get more information about Mike's book, and you can take that quiz, which is fun. And the website is youremotionaltype.com. And once again, we're going to be posting that on the Facebook page. It's all spelled out, youremotionaltype.com. This is going to give us all a lot more information so we can really look at how we can be healthier and how we can thrive. And I think that's what it's all about. Mike, this has been a terrific show. On behalf of Dr. Altshuler and myself, I want to thank you so much for being on the show. And I also want to remind our listeners to visit our website, 5tothriveplan.com. Every week we come out with a new Thrive Thought, and today the Thrive Thought was on the healing power of music. That's just one example. We do these Thrive Thoughts every week, and you can sign up for them for free. All you need to do is put your email in. We don't ask for any other information. So go to 5tothriveplan.com, and you can get more information about our new book coming out and our magazine that we have created. And you can also get a schedule of the shows. Tomorrow night, I will have Dr. Jane Giltinan on the show, and she is going to be talking about natural relief for menopause, one of my favorite topics. So you're not going to want to miss that. That's tomorrow night, Dr. Jane Giltinan, natural relief of menopause. Enjoy the rest of your evening, and may you experience joy, laughter, and love. It's time to thrive, everyone. Have a great night.